Hello, my name is Nick Serba, and I'm looking forward to spending the next few minutes talking to you and with you about systems, principles, and philosophies that can help you to get from where you are to where you want to be. Why did you start with Legal Shield? Was it to have more, to do more, more income, more time, more freedom? The same reasons that I started almost 21 years ago. When my wife Gail and I started with Legal Shield, we came to this business with a background that was somewhat diversified. I'd worked in corporate America. I was an agency manager and producer for New York Life Insurance Company, and I had offices in different parts of the country. When I got out of high school, I did varied things. I worked on tugboats for a year up and down the Erie Barge Canal and in New York Harbor, and that was quite a different experience. I was in the military in the Air Force, went to college on a basketball and golf scholarship, had numerous entrepreneurial ventures, including seminar and workshop companies, direct mail advertising companies. But when I came to this business and when this opportunity was offered to me, I looked at it and I saw what some other people were doing that I knew. And I felt that this was something that I could do. It was something that would add the additional income that we were looking for. And as I mentioned, that was 21 years ago. And I just am thankful for the opportunity that we have. I'm thankful for the decisions that we made. And I'm also thankful to have the opportunity to be in front of you because we've had some success, not just based on our own efforts, but on the efforts of those people that we've been fortunate to work with in this great, great company. So let's ask a couple of questions first. Why in the world did you get started in this business? What is it that you want? Are you looking for more time freedom? Are you looking for more financial freedom? Are you looking for freedom of choice? What are the things that motivated you to start in this business? The vehicle that you choose is very important. Are you and I choosing a vehicle that is solid? Is it dependable? Is it something we're going to be able to count on down the road? And I look at Legal Shield as the most streamlined, most opportunistic vehicle that my wife Gail and I have for us and for our family's future. This is a vehicle. We offer a product and a service that everybody needs, practically no one has, and everyone can afford. We offer a service that's provided by a company that has over four decades of experience with integrity in providing the services and providing fulfilling the promises that they've made to associates throughout the United States and Canada. So we're in a great vehicle. But you have a choice. You can choose, like many do, to just take this vehicle and take it for a joyride and not really get much else out of it. You can choose this vehicle to drive it to McDonald's for a Happy Meal. Or you can choose this vehicle, like many of our top people in Platinums have, to drive it to the finest resorts and opportunities that you can have in your life. And that's really what I want to talk about. What is the difference between where you are and where you want to be? What are you going to need to do? What are you going to need to change? And a lot of people talk about and they don't like to change, but the bottom line is the only thing that's never going to change is that things are always going to change. And the change starts with you. So what are you going to do to change? You say, I don't like to change. I'm not comfortable changing. But the bottom line here is everyone, if they're going to make anything happen in their life, has had to have some degree of discomfort to get in a position to make a change. You have to be uncomfortable or discontent with where you are right now. You have to be uncomfortable with your income, uncomfortable with your circumstances or your job or your circumstances with your family. You've got to be uncomfortable enough to make that change. And so that's what I want to talk about some today. What do you need to change? What are you willing to change to get from where you are to where you want to be? And let's talk about a couple of things. Many times I talk to people and they say, well, Nick, I don't know if I can do this. I'm just not cut out for this. I don't know how to do this. And I want to talk about some of those things. First of all, I want to redefine some things for you if you're going to get from where you are today to where you want to be. Number one, let's not talk about you being better than everybody else. Let's talk about you being better than the you are today and you earning more than the you today, you becoming more than the you today. Let's talk about those specific things. You may not be able to be number one in this company. You may not be willing to work hard enough. You may not have the skill set and experience. But I want to throw in a word here, this very important word that I'd like you to add to your vocabulary, and that is the word yet, Y-E-T. I don't know how to do that yet. I haven't been able to do that yet. I haven't made that income yet. I'm not disciplined enough yet, because that leaves open the door that you can change. And the key ingredients in changing and the key motivators in changing are really your priorities. And a lot of people say, well, I don't have the time. Am I going to have the time to do this? And they talk about time control. And really, in my mind, there's very little credibility to the word time control. It's really priority control. You could take a situation today and say, I don't have time to do this business. I don't have time to attend this workshop. I don't have time to attend the convention. I don't have the time. But the bottom line is, it's priority control that's really important. And I hope that this would not happen to anyone, but if you were to leave your house today and you had a full schedule and you didn't have time to do anything else or add anything else to what you were doing, you were completely backed up, you were overbooked, they were expecting you at work, you had to catch a plane, you had family engagements, all of those things were involved and you did not have the time. Well, what would happen if you stepped out of your front door and you slipped on the ice and you broke your leg? When your wife or your husband called the ambulance, would you say, "I'm sorry, I don't have time to go"? No, all of a sudden, you would reprioritize everything in your life. You would make the time to do that, and those things that were second and third and fourth priorities would move down the list because you have a new priority. And priorities are really what it is about. And people that succeed in this business, what I call, they have priority power. And that is what's going to drive you through the things that the difficulties you're going to have, the obstacles that you're going to have, and the things that you're going to confront. And people say, "Well, I have circumstances, Nick. There's circumstances that get in my way, and I've had things happen to me that maybe don't happen to some other people." Well, everybody has circumstances. We all have circumstances in our life. Some of those circumstances are not pleasant, and some of those we've created ourselves. Many are through no fault of our own. So everyone has circumstances, but where do the winners and losers separate themselves? Where do the winners separate themselves from the average or the mediocre? That comes into the next part of the equation, and that's that circumstances create opportunities to make choices. And the choices that you make and the choices that I make, they result in consequences that create the opportunities and the futures that we have today. Those choices that we make when we're confronted with these circumstances called life, those choices are now going to take us down different paths. And is that going to be the path to success? Is that going to be the path to getting better, to having more? Or is that going to be the path to mediocrity and the path to being average, living in an average home, living an average life with average vacations and an average income? Is that the kind of choices that you're going to make? So that is where the difference comes in. And that's what I want to talk about over the next few minutes, the difference between those people that succeed and have success as we define it, most of us define it in our life, the difference between those people that are succeeding in Legal Shield and are where you want to be and where you are. And so many people get involved in our business and they want what others have, but they're not willing to do what others have done. And if you ultimately want to be able to have what others don't have, you have to make a decision now to do what others will not do. And so let's talk about some of that as we move ahead here. And I want to talk about a success system that I think is applicable to just about every single thing that we do. And I call that the success 3-2-1, because I think there's a specific formula for success and there's a specific formula for failure or mediocrity. So what are you going to do that's going to be different? Now, first of all, let's set aside some things. We need to understand in the beginning, we need to have the faith and the belief that this is going to work. How do we develop that? Well, all you have to do is look at the profiles of success, look at the people that walk across the stage, look at the hundreds and hundreds of people that are receiving performance club bonuses, look at the many, many people that are ring earners, and look at the people that are earning $100,000, $250,000, $500,000, $1 million a year in our business, and the many, many more who are earning an extra $1,000 to $500 a month or a week, and look at those people. And if there's just one person doing it, then maybe that's not something that you feel that you have belief that you can do. But if there's hundreds doing it or more and more doing it and your company and your state and your city and your organization, then that's something that you can do. You may not be able to be number one next week, but you can get a little better. You can do a little better. And just think about if you could work on getting a little bit better and doing a little more. And that's one of the first principles I want to talk about, a little better and a little more. You can't be maybe 100% better next week, but can you be 1% better? Can you read a few more pages in a book? Can you make one more call? If you're making 10 calls, can you make 11? If you're making 5 calls, can you make 6? If you're making none, can you make 1 or 2? And if you can improve 1% a week, just 1% a week, you're 50% better at the end of a year. Every 2 years, you're 100% better. And look at what's happening to your business and look at what's happening to your personal growth. And no organization is going to grow ultimately larger than the people that are running and building that organization. So part of what I want to talk about is about you, because that's where success starts. That's where the change starts. It starts with you. It's not the company, because other people are working with the company and they're having success, and there are people that work with the company that don't have success. What's the difference? It's not the tools and materials, because every one of the people you're going to see walking across a stage at the next convention you attend, probably all of those people didn't get where they are using the tools we have today, because those tools did not exist when we started. The tools are better now. They're more efficient. They're more streamlined. They're more productive. We have the best tools we've ever had in the history of the company. But that is not what got people that are succeeding to where they are. It is what they do with those tools. And it's not that they're doing something special. It's that they're doing something on a consistent, persistent basis every single day. That's what makes them special and sets them apart from others. So let's talk about now what I believe is a 3-2-1 system. And basically what it boils down to is this. There's three questions that you need to ask yourself, because it's not the company. It's not the economy out there in the country. What's the difference if the economy in the country is good, but the economy in your household is bad? And what's the difference if the economy in the country is bad, but it's good in your household? That's what makes a difference. You need to be the chief executive officer and president of your company, of your household. And you have chosen a vehicle that can help you to get there if you're willing to do what successful people do. If you're coachable, if you have a good work ethic, and if you're willing to do the things that successful people do. I want to have what the platinums and ring earners have. Then we're going to talk about what the platinums and ring earners do. And you can do it. And you can do it here with this company. You can do it today. And you can do it with the skill set you've got right now. And many times people will say, well, where do I start? You start the only place you can start. The only place you can start is where you are. You can't start where I am. You can't start where you used to be. You can't start where you hope and dream to be. The only place you can start is where you are today. Well, I have so far to go. People start in this business and have so much more experience than I do. They're older than I am. Well, if they've got more experience and they're older than you and they started a place maybe closer to the success that you're looking for, well, you may have farther to go, but you have more to gain. And you can do this. And so this is a simple, simple business. Someone else provides the service. Someone else does the back office. But you need to operate you. This is kind of you, Inc., and this is what's important. The change starts with you. I'm going to talk about that. So what is this success system 3-2-1? First of all, there's three questions. There's two reasons. And there's one decision that you have to make. What are these three questions? Well, the first question is, what do I want? What do I really want? Not what do I just think I want? Not just what sounds good to my family. Not just what sounds good to my upline. What do I really want? And more often than not, what you want, although it may be a stepping stone to what you want, it's not that you want to be an executive director, or it's not that you want to be just a ring earner. That is the stepping stone. That is the vehicle, the tool to get you to what you really want. You want time freedom. You want financial freedom. You want to send your kids to the better schools. You want to take better vacations. You want to retire your spouse from work. You want to not go into that job every day that you don't feel like going into. And so that is really what we want. So what is it that you really want? What are your goals? We talk about this all the time. We hear people talk about in our business that your why. What is your reason? What is your, what I would like to refer to, your higher purpose? Because I want to spend a little time on this. The three questions are, what do I want? Why don't I have it? And what am I going to do about it? And so let's talk about these three questions now. What do I want? All right. What are your goals? What do you really want? What do you want out of this business? What are you willing to put into this business? Is it income? Is it time freedom? What are the things that you want? Why do you want it? Let's talk about this, and I want you to think about this a little bit more, because this is one of the most important things that you and I can talk about, and one of the most important differences between people that succeed and people that do not. You say, decisions are tough to me. I make the wrong decisions. If your priorities are high enough and your priorities are important enough, decisions will become easy because you have your priorities in order. Let's talk about a couple of things that you're going to encounter. You're going to encounter disappointment. You're going to encounter negativity. You're going to encounter failure. Failure is an inherent part of the success that we have. Just like a baseball player who makes millions of dollars and hits 300, 7 out of 10 times they go to bat, they don't get a hit. They get hit 3 out of 10 times, and they improve those averages, and their income goes up. But in life, and especially in the type of business that we're in, you're going to encounter a lot of difficulties and a lot of challenges, and you've got to have something that's going to push you by that, and it can't be something small. If you want to get pushed by and push past the big obstacles, you've got to have big priorities. You've got to have a higher purpose. And so let's talk about priorities and purpose. Let's just take an example I've used before. You're in your home, and all of a sudden your smoke alarm goes off, and you see flames coming from the hallway. And so you run out of the house, and as you run out the front door, you realize you left $20 on your nightstand. Are you going to run back in that house? Probably not. Or $100 or $1,000, are you going to run back in the house? Maybe you might make a decision depending upon the closeness of the flames and the heat, but probably not. And so you don't have a reason strong enough to go back in the house. And it's not just the money. The money is not a reason enough. But let's suppose that all of a sudden you realize your children are in the back bedroom. Are you going back in the house? Of course you're going back into the house. The flames are just as hot. The danger is just as real. But your purpose is a much higher purpose. You have a much higher priority, and that is going to drive you past whatever difficulties you encounter. And it's the same thing in our business. What is your why? What is your reason? What is your higher purpose that will drive you to get away from the television at night, that will drive you to get to the meeting when I don't feel like it? And let's talk about this as you're determining your goals. I don't feel like it. I don't feel comfortable. Here's where I think we've all been fed a bill of goods as we're growing up. We're told and we hear people talking about feelings and touchy-feely this and that. And bottom line, what we feel like is completely irrelevant to what we should be doing. Most of the time when you are going to work and you see the thousands and tens of thousands and millions of people across the country fighting through traffic in the day and you look at their faces going to and from work, do you think they feel like doing it? No, they don't feel like doing it. They do it because they have a higher purpose. They have a reason to do it, to get the paycheck, to take care of their family. And so they do it for another reason. If they were relegated to just doing whatever they feel like, they turn that car around and go home and hit the snooze button again. So you need to be motivated by a higher purpose. You know, it sounds so trite many times. It sounds like almost like a soundbite. People talk all the time about your why and what's your why for doing the business. But it is so important because that is going to get you through the obstacles. That's going to create the opportunity for you to make the right choices when you're confronted with unfortunate circumstances so that you can have the right consequences to achieve your goals. All right, so what is your purpose? What do you really, really want in the business? Okay, so set down, define your goals, give yourself a deadline, and it's important that you've got a deadline. I know when I was going to the airport yesterday, I saw a sign along the side of the road for a restaurant that I had read about, and I made a decision with my wife, Gail, that we wanted to go to that restaurant. But I didn't take the time to stop on my way to the airport because I had a deadline. I had to be somewhere at a certain time. So my choice was not difficult. The decision that I made to not stop there was not difficult because I had a deadline and I had a higher priority. So when you set your goals in this business, what do you want? Don't just talk about the incidental things and I want to make some more money. What do I really want? Why am I doing this business? Why is it important to me? If I don't do this, what will I do to get me to my goals? And also remember when you're talking about your why and your reason, there's a cost if you do and there's a cost if you don't in every single decision that you and I make. If you make a decision not to make a decision, that is a decision. You've made a decision not to act. And if you make a decision not to act, you're making a decision to stay in the job that you're in. You're making a decision to keep your wife or your husband working that extra job. You're making a decision to not be able to send your child to the school you want to or not take those vacations. You're making that decision when you don't make a decision. So when you're making a decision in this business, what is it for? And there's a cost if you do and there's a cost if you don't. What's the cost of getting involved in this business? Maybe it's getting out of your comfort zone. Maybe it's spending a little time and a little money. But you know, if you want to, there's a give to get formula in life. If you want to get something, you've got to give something. And so you've got to give up something now to get something later. And if you want to have down the road what most people don't have, you have to do today what most people are unwilling to do. And there's kind of a contradiction that you and I have to work ourselves through as we determine our why, as we determine what do I want. And that contradiction is if you ever want to be in a position to get paid for more than you do, you first have to form the habit now of doing more than you get paid for. If you ever want to be in a position to do whatever you feel like doing, whenever you feel like doing it, you first have to accept the responsibility and have the discipline to do what you do not feel like doing now when you don't feel like doing it. Move yourself away from the television when you don't feel like it. Go out in the rain and get to the meeting and talk to someone when you don't feel like doing it. Pick up the telephone and make that extra call when you don't feel like doing it. Why? Because you have a higher purpose, a higher priority. And so the first question then is, what do I want? What do I really want? All right, now let's talk about the second question. Why don't I have it? Well, let's talk about why I don't have it. Well, one reason you may not have it is going back to the question, your priorities. what are your priorities? And I believe in something called priority power. So why don't I have it? Maybe revisit your priorities. Do you have a higher purpose? What is the reason you're doing this? I hear all the time people talking about, you know, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. And that's a wonderful thing to say, but many times it's just not true. You know, you need to be passionate about what you do. Well, if you're brand new in this business, maybe you don't know enough. You haven't experienced enough. Your checks haven't been big enough yet. You've had too many setbacks and you're not that passionate about what you do. That's okay. But you still need to have the passion. If you can't be that passionate about what you're doing right now, be passionate about why you're doing it. Be passionate about your purpose. Be passionate about your reasons. Be passionate about getting from where you are to where you deserve to be, where you can be, and where this vehicle will take you if you're coachable and you follow the system. What are some other reasons you may not have it? Well, you may not have it because of fear. You're afraid, a fear of failure, afraid to try. You're not sure you can do it. But, you know, I think fear has, it's a double-edged sword. Fear is a great thing. I think I operate a lot out of fear. I create a sense of desperation. They say, well, you don't want to be desperate. I like to create my own sense of desperation. Because bottom line is, many of you at work, you're working in a state of desperation. You know if you don't go to work, somebody's going to fire you and you're going to lose your job. So somebody else is creating that for you. But when I look at fear, I'm more afraid not of what people are going to say to me. I'm more afraid of having to go back and getting a regular job somewhere. I'm more afraid of not providing for my family. I'm more afraid of not realizing the dreams that my family and I have and not fully taking advantage of this opportunity that I have. Nothing lasts forever. We have a great opportunity right now. Am I taking advantage of it? Am I fulfilling my potential? That's what I'm more afraid of, and that fear drives me. And I hope that if you have the right priorities, that fear is going to drive you. Well, you say, well, I don't have the discipline. Well, let me just share with you and just redefining something here. Everyone has discipline. You have discipline whether you like it or not. You don't have a choice whether you lead a disciplined life. Your only choice is who is going to choose to discipline you. Are you going to discipline yourself or are you going to let the world discipline you? If you don't discipline yourself, your boss will discipline you. If you don't discipline yourself, the government will discipline you. Your landlord will discipline you. Your family will discipline you. You will be disciplined to do things that you need to do to get through your life. And so the people that succeed in our business are people that have chosen to discipline themselves. That discipline that drives them by the priorities that they have. Now, that discipline that you have, you know, I like to put it in a framework of a thermostat and a thermometer. A lot of people, what are the differences between the mediocre and the average? They operate more like a thermometer. And those people that succeed, they operate more like a thermostat. What do I mean? Well, a thermometer registers a temperature. It registers a temperature. You have it set on 70 or 72. You open up the door and the cold air comes in. And all it does is the temperature drops and it drops down to 65 or 66. It gets colder in the room. And people do that with their businesses and their lives. Hey, I just register what's around me. Things are good around me. I'm happy. I'm upbeat. Things are bad around me. I'm down. I'm quitting. I'm out of here. This is not working. All I do is register what's around me. I don't control anything. But a thermostat, basically you set it. If I want it to be 72 and all of a sudden the front door is left open and it takes it down to 65, the thermostat realizes it. It's been set on something else. It's been set on something 72, so it's going to bring the temperature back up and turn the heat on. If it gets too warm outside, it's going to turn the air conditioning on and it's going to make it cooler. It's going to bring you to where you want to be. Now, that success thermostat that we have in our life basically is our priorities, our goals. And the people that are succeeding, that's what they're driven by. They're driven not by what's pleasant right now, what feels good right now, but driven by the goal, driven by the objective. And if you want to get where the successful people are, that's what you and I need to do. So what is your success thermostat set at? Sometimes it's difficult. It's difficult if you're making $1,000 a week, say, right now. And somebody talks to you about making $5,000 a week, you may not be able to see that. But what you can see is take that little step. You know, don't start today and from no matter where you are. And by the way, that's one of the great opportunities we have in our business. You have the opportunity to start over again every single day. You can make a mistake with an associate. You can make a mistake on a group call. You can make a mistake in a presentation. You can make a wrong decision, and you can start all over again tomorrow. And when you recruit someone tomorrow, then you're starting at the very top. You're the CEO, chief executive officer, president of a brand new company of You Inc. that you can build from the ground up and learn from what you did the day before. So you have an opportunity every single day to fail, and that opportunity gives you more opportunity to succeed. So Why don't you have it? Is it fear? Is it lack of priorities, lack of purpose? Set your success thermostat on something that you can see. Before you can get to $1,000 a day, you got to get to $1,000 a week. Before you can get to $1,000 a week, you got to get to $1,000 a month. Before you can get to $1,000 a month, you got to get to $1,000 every couple months. So start where you are and take the next step. And you know what? You may not can see it yet. But if you take that next step and then the next step, finally you'll be able to see a little bit higher, a little bit further, and you will have a little more confidence every single day and that you will be able to accomplish these goals. It's easy to go from where you are to the next step. It's not easy to go from where you are maybe to the highest step that we have with the company. So just take it one step at a time. What do I want? Qualify for Performance Club. Qualify for the next goal. Qualify for the next objective. Qualify for the next income level. So why don't I have it? Just ask yourself that question again and be honest with yourself. Be brutally honest. Look in the mirror. Why don't I have this? What am I not doing that successful people do? I want what the Platinums have. Am I doing what they do? What do I need to change? And again, change starts with you. Because if I want different, something has to change. If I want more, something has to change. Okay? So that's the second question. Now, the third question is, what am I going to do about it? So what do I want? Why don't I have it? Third question, what am I going to do about it? Now, here we get down to something that's very important because I have so many people talk to me about problems. And I say I have so many people. I have a decreasing amount of people that talk to me about problems because I'm not comfortable to talk to when some people want to talk about problems because I want to talk about solutions. Because after I've been empathetic and listened to the problem or the complaint many times or the criticism, then I follow up with, what are we going to do about it? Okay, that's the problem. What are we going to do about it? And so the question is, what am I going to do about it? And I want to talk about solutions. So number one, define your problem. Are you defining a symptom? Is that what you're solving? Well, my problem is I don't have enough money. No, that's not really your problem. It may be your problem in some circumstances, but with the situation we have with Legal Shield, that's not your problem at all. That's just a symptom. What's the symptom? The symptom of not having enough money is not putting enough business on the books or not recruiting enough people, not having enough productivity. It's an interesting thing about our commission statements. It tells you about overrides. It tells you about commissions at different levels. It tells you about the sales that you made and the recruits that you've had, and it tells you all those things, but there's no place on the commission statement for potential. There's no place on the commission statement for opportunity. There's no place on the commission statement for trying. There's no place on the commission statement for dreaming and wishing. There's a place on the commission statement for productivity. And so we need to talk about the solution. What is the solution? The symptom is I don't have money. And why don't I have the money? Because I'm not making enough sales or not having enough recruits. Why do I not have enough sales and recruits? Because I'm not making enough calls. I'm not coachable. I'm not following the system. That's the problem that we need to work on. And so what am I going to do about it? Now it boils down to two things. Because when you take out that you don't have any control over what the company is doing, you don't have any control over what the economy does, and you don't have any control really over what a lot of other people do, what do you have control over? What am I going to do about it? You ask yourself a question. Is there anything I can do about this particular issue? If the answer is yes, then do it. I don't care if it's just all you can do is write a letter, then write a letter. Or if it's making calls, if there's anything you can do about it, do it. But if there's nothing you can do about it, then forget about it, move on, and focus on those things you can do something about. Now, as it relates to our business, now we get to the two reasons. What are the two reasons? The two reasons are, I'm not doing it enough, or I'm not doing it right. Why is this so important? Because both of these things are within your control. They're within my control. It's totally within my control whether I do it enough. It's totally within my control whether I do it right. And the company has all kinds of systems, the greatest training in the world, greatest materials, tools, seminars, workshops, calls, videos, all the online assistance that we have, the greatest in the world, I think, that's available out there, we have available. So to learn to do it right, you can do that. And so you're not doing it enough or you're not doing it right. And so how do you change that? You go ahead and focus and you attend the trainings, you make the changes that are necessary, and you get a little better every day, a little better, a little more. Now, how do you know if you're doing it enough? Well, first of all, how much is enough? To know how much is enough, you need to know your numbers. You need to know your averages. You need to take an inventory. How much is enough for you? Let's take a very simple situation. Let's say that you want to make $1,000. If you want to make $1,000 and you're making $100 a sale, for example, well, then one simple way to do this is you go ahead and make 10 sales, you've made $1,000. If you want to make $1,000 a week, then you make these 10 sales a week. Now, we're not taking into consideration the overrides and the leverage that you create from recruiting and all those things. Just talking about the numbers, what are your numbers? How many sales do you have to make the amount of money that you want to earn? So decide on the income that you want to earn. Then break it down to how many sales I need to make. Now, what are my averages? Am I a 1 out of 3 salesperson? Do I need to have 3 presentations to make 1 sale? All right, if I want to make 10 sales, and I need 3 presentations, then I need 30 presentations over whatever period of time we're talking about. How many calls do I need to make? How many prospects do I need to have to get to 30 presentations? Is it 60? Is it 90? Is it 100? What is it? And so what are my numbers? What are your numbers? Now, once you know your numbers and what your numbers are, this becomes very scientific. If I want to increase my results, one thing I can do is just increase my numbers. Okay? If I want to make twice as many sales, I have twice as many presentations, or 10% more sales, 10% more presentations. But that's not so simple all the time. You have just a limited amount of time. So how can you increase your production in your business? Well, number one, you can move yourself up through the marketing system. That's why it's important for you to move up to the next level, to become an associate, to become a manager, to become a director, become an executive director, to move yourself up in the marketing plan. So maybe now, instead of making $100 a sale, you're making $150 or $200. And maybe now, instead of making a $25 override, you're making a $75 or $100 override. So that's one thing that you can do to improve those numbers. Now, what's another thing that you can do to improve? When you feel like you've got enough numbers and you're looking at it and you see my numbers are sufficient, I'm making the calls, but I'm not making the sales, or I'm not getting the recruits. What am I doing wrong? Well, then it breaks down to one of two things. It's either the quality of your prospect, or it's the quality of your presentation. It's the quality of your prospects, or it's the quality of your presentation. What do I mean by that? Well, if you're in front of good prospects and you're not making the sales, or you're not getting the recruits, then you need to work on your presentation. Practice, practice, practice. Go back to training. Go back to the classes. Get your upline or someone to listen to you. Put it on audio so you can listen to it over and over and over. Practice, practice, practice. When I first started in this business, when I first started in the insurance business, I put it all on tape. I listened to it when I got up in the morning and I shaved. I listened to it when I was going to bed. I listened to it when I was driving in my car. And you could have awakened me at 3 o'clock in the morning and said line 6, and I could have got there because it was comfortable. I knew my presentation. I knew my product. I had the knowledge of the product. And I knew the presentation. And I knew what I had to say. So let's assume that you're doing a good presentation. If you're doing a good presentation, maybe now it's the quality of your prospects. What do I mean by that? Are you dealing with suspects, or are you dealing with prospects? Let's define that. From my insurance background, let's say, for example, that you have a mortgage insurance policy that your company is going to offer. And it's the best mortgage insurance policy out there, guaranteed. In fact, it's guaranteed to be 50% cheaper than any mortgage policy out in the marketplace. Well, what do? You go to a hotel and they're having a meeting at the hotel, and you hand out 100 flyers saying mortgage insurance 50% off guaranteed. And you hand it out to 100 people. And then you're surprised because nobody buys. Now, are they not buying because it's just not a good offer? No, it's a great offer. Are they not buying because it's not a good product? No, it's a great product. They're not buying because they're not prospects, they're suspects. Let's assume that you happen to hand these out outside of an apartment dwellers meeting. And all these people were people that had apartments. Nobody had a home. So they're not prospects. So the first thing you need to do is define what is a prospect for you. When I was in the insurance business, a prospect for us was someone who had a need, someone who could be seen on a favorable basis, and somebody who had the ability to pay. And also in that business, someone who is insurable. But in our business, someone has to have a need, they have to have the ability to pay, and you have to be able to see them on a favorable basis. That makes them a prospect, not just a suspect. So you're talking to people that are interested in making a change. If I could show you a way to make an extra few hundred to $1,000 a week or a month, would that interest you? No. All right, they're not a prospect. If I could show you a way to earn an extra few hundred to $1,000 a week or a month, would that, and fit it in with what you're doing, would that interest you? Yes. Okay. They're a prospect. So asking one simple question can change your averages. If you were the insurance agent and outside of that room, all you did is ask a question, do you own a home? And you didn't give it to anybody, you didn't give the flyer to anybody that didn't own a home. Well, now your averages would be much higher because you're talking to people that are better prospects. So tied in with that, let me give you another little tip here. And that is, your success in prospecting, in sales, and in your productivity is going to be in direct proportion to the temperature of your prospects. What do I mean by the temperature of your prospects? The colder the prospects, the lower your results are going to be, the lower your averages are going to be. If all I'm doing is making cold calls, and one of the great things about my business is I can make cold calls, and I can do that when I'm not doing anything else, But if all I'm doing is calling on people that don't know me, don't know who I am, or don't know what I do or anything about me, have no confidence in me, have no relationship with me, my averages are going to be lower. I'm going to have to make more calls to get the same amount of appointments. I'm going to have more appointments to get the same amount of sales. So one of the things that you can do to improve your averages is increase the temperature of your prospects. How do you do that? Your warm market list. Who do you know? Follow your dollar. Where do you spend money? Your clubs, your organizations, people you go to church with, people that you are your neighbors, people that your kids play ball with, people that you meet through networking organizations. And then when you make those calls and you meet people that you don't know, they're going to fit into one of three categories. I'm not interested now. Fine, you put them to the side and you forget about it. Hey, now's not a good time. Why? Because I just moved in, just moved out, just got a job, just lost a job, just got married, just got divorced, whatever it is. Now's not a good time. Okay, you put them in a follow-up system. And as you follow up that second, that third, that fourth, that fifth time, they become warmer and warmer prospects. And now your averages are going to increase. So my objective for you here is to try to increase the temperature of your prospects and you will have greater results, better averages, more productivity. All right, so we've talked about what do I want, why don't I have it, what am I going to do about it? We've talked about the two reasons, I'm not doing it enough or I'm not doing it right. Both of those are within your control. And now I want to talk about the one decision, 3-2-1, the one decision that you have to make if you're going to have the success that you deserve, if you're going to have the success of the highest achievers. And that one decision are three very important words to you, and they're not only important in our business, they're important in life, they're important with your family, they're important in your community. And that those three words are, I am responsible. I am responsible. My upline's not responsible. I'm going to wait and see what my spouse thinks. I'm going to see what the company comes out with. I'm going to see what happens with the tax code. I'm going to see what happens with my downline or my upline. Every time that you say that in your life, you are putting off responsibility. You're giving up leadership to someone else. You're giving up leadership to someone in your organization. You're giving up leadership to the company. You're giving up leadership to someone else. But when you say those words, I am responsible, that gives you the freedom to act now. You don't need to wait on anybody else. You don't need to put off anything. You don't need to procrastinate because I am responsible. What am I responsible for? I'm responsible for how well I do something and how often I do it. I'm responsible for what is within my control. Okay, so now we get down to what do I want? Why don't I have it? What am I going to do about it? There's two reasons. I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing it right. I am responsible. I'm responsible for those things. I'm responsible for getting better a little bit every day. If I get a little better every day, 1-2% a week, then I'm 50 to 100% better at the end of the year. If I make one or two more calls every day, my business is going to increase proportionally. So I'm responsible for those things. Now, what's going to drive that? What's going to drive that is my philosophy. And what is my philosophy? Basically, I have a basic philosophy, and it's this. Whatever it takes, as long as it takes. How long is it going to take, Nick? Well, I don't know how long it's going to take. It's going to be different for everybody. It's going to take as long as it takes. And what is it going to take? I don't know what it's going to take. It's going to take whatever it takes, and it's going to take as long as it takes. But if your priority is big enough, you will do what's necessary to move you, to move your business, to move your activity, your actions, everything that will move you toward that end. If you set your success thermostat, and that is set and determined by the priorities that you have, you'll move ahead and you'll accomplish those things that you want to in the business. You are in the right place at the right time, but it's not good if you don't do the right thing at the right time. This can be for you one of the greatest businesses in the world. Lives are being changed. People are living in their dream homes, taking their dream vacations, having responsibility for their life. And when I look at the things that this business can provide, time freedom, financial freedom, and most important to me, freedom of choice, freedom to choose the things that I want to do, freedom to choose the life that I want for myself and my family. That is what you have in front of you. You have the tools, you have the support, you've got the market, you've got the environment, you've got all of those things, but the change starts with you and your business, your success, and your life is going to be what you make it. And I wrote a poem between 2 and 3 decades ago, but I think it's appropriate here, and it's called Your Life is What You Make It. I want to close with this because your life is what you make it. Your life is what you make it. Can you clearly see, or have you searched the outermost reaches for your success and opportunity? Why is it that some succeed while others just barely get by? The answer is so simple and easy to see. It's not their talent or their ability. It's because they try. What the loser seeks is in others, but winners look to themselves. Within each of you lies greatness, happiness, success, and wealth. Stop blaming and making excuses, and make a decision today. Forget that you can't and believe that you can, and success will come your way. But you have to make a decision now. If you don't, you will have to pay with wasted talents and shattered dreams that have died along the way. You still have the time and the talent to make all of your dreams come true. But you have to make a decision now and do all that you can do, because your life is what you make it. Success or failure, it is up to you.